Today's scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he has set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Some years ago, I put to memory the Great Thanksgiving. We're not having communion today, and I always don't get it right. I messed it up a little bit this morning in the 9 o'clock service. But I did it not just for worship's sake, but there are a lot of times in my life when I just want to remember all that God has done. And kind of like with the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, if somebody said, hey, I know you're a Christian, what is it that you really believe? Well, you've got that creed right there to help you to sum up what it is that you really believe right there on the spur of the moment. But when I'm thinking about everything that God has done for us, I like having it all right there in kind of a reduced capsule form like it is in the Great Thanksgiving. It just changes my heart. It can change my mood when I think of all that God has done. If I had to go back in the scripture, throughout all of the scripture, and pick out the equivalent of the great thanksgiving that is there in scripture. When does somebody really sum up everything that God has done and also capture everything that that means for us? It would be in the scripture that you have just heard in Ephesians. It's a wonderful scripture. It's hard to keep up with, and you'd be interested to know that in the Greek, it's all one sentence. No sentences, no periods. It is all one long train of thought. And it deals with God, the Creator and the Father. It deals with Jesus Christ. In fact, the word Christ, or Him, when referring to Christ, is in this at least 12 times. I counted it this morning. I was just interested because everything that is said in the beginning of this letter to Ephesians is all said because of Christ. It is because of Christ that these things are real for us. It is because of Christ that we are who we are, as it is described here in Ephesians. And so when you look at that, you begin to get a little bit overwhelmed at just how magnificent all of that is. In fact, it begins by saying that, you know, we bless God, bless who is Father, Lord Jesus Christ, because he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, when you talk about being blessed, or even when you think about being blessed, what are some of the first things that come to your mind when you think about, oh, I'm blessed? I mean, I am blessed. You know, most of the time, what I hear and even what I do much of the time is going to the things that are very much confined to our circumstances here on earth. Probably the one that I hear more than anything else in terms of blessing is I have good health. Well, I am blessed. I have good health. Or you might say, well, I've been always able to provide for my family, never was without a job. And, you know, and I look at my life, I've just been blessed. Well, our children never gave us a whole lot of trouble. They gave us some along the way, but, you know, all in all, I've just really been blessed, you know, that, you know, our children didn't, turn out, you know, completely heathen and whatever. But, you know, you can just keep on going in that vein, and you realize that when you're listening to Paul, or this might actually be a disciple of Paul that is capturing Paul's very message and is giving Paul all the credit for it as it becomes a circular letter throughout Asia Minor. The earliest documents actually don't have that front little salutation about Ephesus. The word Ephesus is not in the earliest documents of the letter. In fact, it was a circular letter by Tychicus that went around not just to Ephesus, but to all of the churches. In fact, if Tychicus were to come here, and you hear this in the end of the book of Ephesians, how Tychicus is taking this around, he would be here to say, to all of the saints here in Alabaster, it would be kind of a blank where whatever church Tychicus was going to would be the name that would be a part of that letter that is being taken to the churches there. And it could have been a combination of both Paul's work and, you know, a devoted follower of Paul that captured his work in this letter. But we do know that it comes at a time when probably most of the disciples, if not all of them, have now died. And there are some conflicts in the church at this time. There's a good bit of conflict between the Jewish and the non-Jewish, the Gentile Christians. But if it's not Jewish and Gentile that is a part of the conflict that's in the church right now, it is just the conflict is there in the people, the Gentiles, that are now Christian or now followers of Christ, but they brought all of their pagan background, all of their pagan religion into their Christian faith as well. And it causes problems. And Paul is always having to try to straighten out a lot of that. And some of the things that they're doing that's really not Christ-like or not ordained by Christ, in the church. And they get discouraged. I mean, the church at this point probably is pretty discouraged at the time that this letter comes out. And it's just interesting that when that happens, Paul doesn't exhort the churches and say, all right, shape up and get with it. Stop floundering around feeling sorry for yourself, being discouraged, shape up, get with it. But that wasn't his approach. That's the kind of approach sometimes we like. But Paul didn't think that would be very helpful. Instead, he took an approach that was saying more like, wake up and celebrate what is already true about you. Get it. And that's what this whole thing is about. Notice what is already true about you. So I wanted to just focus on maybe four spiritual blessings that Paul is lifting up and is saying, you really need to wrap your mind around this and take hold of it and plant it deep in your heart, because this is how you're going to really come through whatever it is that you need to come through. And really, in any church, in any time, during the down times, probably the best approach is to look at what is already true of you because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every time Paul refers to Christ, that's what he's talking about. This is a difference in our life because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he talks about sharing in his glory, which means being with him in glory, where he reigns now. So, and the first spiritual blessing is right there in verse 4 and 5. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children. He destined us as adoption as his children. So you and I are children of God by adoption in Christ Jesus. One of my favorite stories about adoption came from Sunday school class. Sunday school teacher, she had two new boys to come into her class that were 9 years old, and she asked them who they were and how old they were, and they told her that they were brothers, and one said, "I was born April the 8th, 1986. And the other one said, "And I was born April the 20th, 1986. We're both nine." And the Sunday school teacher said, "That's impossible. I mean, how could that be, really?" And they looked at each other and they smiled and said, "It is possible because one of us is adopted." And then before even thinking, she just kind of blurted out, "Really, which one?" And they looked at each other and they smiled and said, "You know, we asked Dad that. And he said, you know, both of you are my sons and I love you both. And just to be honest with you, I can't even remember anymore which is which." Now, that's the way love is always supposed to be. But do you realize that that's the way love is? That is the way love is with you and me. He wanted a family. God wanted a family, and he adopted us into that family, and we are his children, and that is already true. Nothing can change that. And you know, when God was looking for a family, he's kind of like us. Whether you're a parent or not a parent, at one time you were thinking, you know, I'd like to have some kids that, you know, would sort of fulfill my dream for children. It could be tall and handsome or beautiful, or somebody who's very smart or and wise, somebody who will be a success in both business and love and all of these things. And certainly kids that will bring me dozens of grandchildren, you know, at some point along the way. We have sort of our definition of what it is that we would like to have in our children. And it was the very same thing with God. And what God wanted was a family here in the midst of all of us that could love him back, that could return God's love to him, but also could share that love with one another. I mean, that's why we are here. We are to return love to God, and we are to share love with one another because we're the only ones that can do it. We are the children of God on this earth. And when people are wondering what it means to be in relationship, we are the ones that show them. And we show them by the way that we love God and the way that we love others. You and I are a family. That is a spiritual blessing. It can never be taken away from you, and it will be a spiritual blessing throughout eternity. There's another spiritual blessing. I look at it there starting at verse 7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us." All that means is that we, the children of God, have been forgiven and we have been freed from our past. That is a spiritual blessing. It means that there is nothing that you have done or not done as an individual Christian in a relationship with God, and there's nothing that we as a church have or have not done that is not forgiven by God, where we are to be freed now to not look back at our past in that if only kind of mode, but can look at our present and our future. That is a spiritual blessing. And you know, without that grace, that which is given to us that we do not deserve, that grace that is always with us, as Berta said, as the clock ticks for the rest of our life, helping us to grow and to become, to belong. All of those things are possible because, at least in our relationship with God, we are forgiven and freed to move on. We don't have to get stuck, and that is so critical. It is one of the things, and again, all of these things are true. They're spiritual blessings because of Christ, not because of anything else, but by what God has done revealed here in Christ. And what he's revealed to you is, let it go. You're forgiven, and you are free. That's a blessing. And that's not a blessing that's tied to any of your circumstances here in this world. And it is a blessing that is ours throughout eternity. In fact, that's why we will be with God throughout eternity. That's a spiritual blessing, friends. The next spiritual blessing look at is there in verse 9. It says, "He has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we've obtained an inheritance." Now, basically what that means is that God has let us in on the secret. God has a plan. And God's plan is that he wants all people in his family. And those of us who already have the joy and the benefit of knowing Christ, of being freed in Christ, of loving as Christ loved us, and by the power of Christ to have that faith and that hope that is ours in Christ, it is our place in this world to make sure that God wants everyone in his family. And that is why the church is here. You and I are to be a part of having a witness that is so vital, that is not just with our words, but people can see how we love one another. People can see how we love in a very uncharacteristic way as far as this world is concerned, a very unnatural way, unconventional way, a way that cuts really against the grain of the kind of love that is otherwise in this world. It is a reflection of God's own love that is based in that unconditional grace. And he has a plan, and that plan is that everybody know him, what he has done in Christ, and can have a relationship with him. And that's going to happen. It is going to happen. Now, that plan is going to be played out. And one day, we will know it in its fullness. But do you know right now the spiritual blessing is that you can taste it right now. And you really can live right now as if it were already here in its fullness, like it's going to be in the future. Because in relationship with God, God can make that possible. You can taste it. You can know it in part, but in such a way that you are already experiencing eternity. And of course, as Rick Warren reminds us so often, everything that we do here is just practice for eternity. Everything that we do here is just practice for eternity. And in eternity, God's going to have all of those that have responded to His love. And we're going to be in a family that perfectly and fully loves both God and one another. So get to work. Start practicing. Start practicing loving one another. Start practicing being a part of a church that loves unconditionally all of those around us that God loves. And then I think the fourth spiritual blessing is probably expressed in Him. You also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance. You're marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. That is a spiritual blessing. What that means is right now that God and you can have a personal relationship as an individual Christian, and that God and we as a church can have a personal relationship because we are the community of the Holy Spirit. It means, as Berta said, God is with us. That's already true. It's already true for you. There's nothing that can make that untrue ever again. God is with us. The Holy Spirit is here, and it is a pledge to let us taste that life and to look forward to that full inheritance that is ours right now. You know, after Mom died, Dad had about six more years, and he was dealing with both prostate cancer that was dealt with, and then he got multiple myeloma, he began to see that he was more into the last chapter of his life than he had expected. And one of the things that he started doing with my sister and I was to sit down and to tell us, you know, where the deeds were, about the safety deposit box, about the different bank accounts, and how his retirement and his income that would have come to him had he lived longer is now going to come to my sister and I. And he just kind of laid out our inheritance, and you could tell that he was joyful about being able, because of the way that it's just kind of played out, to leave the inheritance that he and my mother had worked on all of their life, and to be able to pass that on to my sister and I, because he knew that even after their death, that they were going to give us not only a great many spiritual inheritances, which were the best, but a physical inheritance as well. And he knew the difference that it was going to make, because it does cost, doesn't it, to live in this world. It does cost to send kids to college, and everything costs. It was going to make it easier, and he knew that it was going to make it easier for us to have some inheritance at that point. But this is exactly what Paul is saying should be an effect of knowing that you are awaiting the inheritance that you are awaiting. You need to expect, to look forward, and to anticipate with enthusiasm that which God has in store for you. We can have it in part right now, but we're going to have it in full one day. And that is something that should make all of us very, very joyful, that inheritance. When I think about that inheritance, I couldn't help but think about a story that's told by Al Kinney. I just ran across this recently. But he was talking about going to the grocery store. And there is a bag boy there, sack boy, that always bags his groceries. And he won't let you help him. He wants to bag everything, and he always wants to take it to the car. No, even if it's just one bag, he wants to go ahead and take it to the car for you. And it happens that Joey, this boy, has Down syndrome. And he always goes out to the car, and it's the same routine. They'll open the trunk, and Joey will put the bags in the trunk and close it. And said, and this really surprised me. It's not so much a surprise anymore, but after he puts the groceries in the trunk, he walks over and puts his arms around me and hugs me and says, "I like you." Every time. Every time. And he said, "I didn't know how to respond at first, so I just said, well, I like you." So every time, bags, hug, "I like you, I like you too." You're not given the choice on that. And he said, you know, most of the time when we're thinking about our inheritance and life and heaven and that sort of thing, most of the time what we say about Joey and those like him is, you know, he's going to be whole in heaven. In heaven, he is going to be whole, which means that he's really going to be like us, like the rest of us. But when I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about what it's going to be like when I'm whole by the grace of God, when I receive my inheritance, is Joy going to be more like me, or am I going to be more like him? Because if you think about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, Joy already seems to have some of those things pretty well in hand. And it seems to be also without all the meanness and the pride that afflicts me constantly. So am I going to be more like him in that inheritance, or is he going to be more like me in that inheritance? And it just reminds you, does it not, that of all the things you have a chance to figure out in this life as preparation for heaven, you have a chance above all other things to learn how to love. If you do that, you're already in your inheritance. You're already enjoying heaven. But if you miss that, you miss everything that God intended for you in this life, and you won't have a clue what heaven is about. So let's take advantage of this opportunity that God has given us to learn how to love God, each other, and this world around us. And feel like you're in heaven. Will you pray with me? God, we are thankful for these spiritual blessings. Sometimes we take them for granted. Sometimes we don't even notice them. But we know of all the things that you have given us. In Jesus Christ, there's nothing greater than this family we're a part of. There's nothing greater than this grace that lets us know we're forgiven and free. There's nothing greater than knowing that you're going to complete this job that you started, and we're going to be a part of it, and we're going to have that as part of our inheritance. To know that we have you with us now as the Holy Spirit from now until the day we die, and in a new way in the day to come. And we just ask that you help us to understand this gift, these blessings that you have given us, to know that they are true and to live them out in such a celebration that this world knows who we belong to and who wants them to belong. In Jesus' name, amen.